And the law of love would have you, even though, what's this say? All things are lawful unto me. When you're visiting grandmas, they're not. How many know what I'm talking about? Because she's got rules. Her society has rules. And this is the big thing that we're running into right now is the generation gap. And what's the generation gap? The generation gap says we'll get married under our rules, and grandma says, oh no, you'll lose your salvation. You'll lose your... On and on it goes, right? Am I speaking to anybody here? Do you see what I'm driving at? Now, if the child is operating under the law of love, they'll be able to go back and meet the needs of the society that they're in or came from. But most of the children are not operating under the law of love. They're operating under the law of lust. And so they'll do their own thing. Now we have to find out who has the most law, love, grandma or the children. Did anyone hear what I just said? And this has caused a generation gap because grandma has no love, she has a lot of law. And now we're in a big generation gap. I'm blaming everything on grandma because I wouldn't want to blame it on you. But you know what I'm talking about, don't you? There's the problem. Because we've been trained about what's socially correct. And our kids are coming along and saying, but in our society that has nothing to do with socially correct or finding favor with God. But we try to put them under our rules of society and say that's finding favor with God. Come on now. I know just a lot of things in our materialistic society that we put some kids under and said this is God's rule, and it wasn't any more God's rule than a monkey. Well, I guess a monkey was God's rule, wasn't he? But monkey's conduct, how's that? Am I making sense to you? Do you see what I'm driving at? So let's watch it in this and differentiate between men's rules and God's rules. And if you're going to be a lover, you're going to keep both. I'll say that again. Lovers never offend. They get along with everybody. They don't offend grandma. They get along with all realms of society, don't they? Mm-hmm. And that's what John was talking about when he said the law of love. All things are expedient. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 14. That's over to the left a little bit. Just a couple pages. And see about this, the same concept. Verse 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus there's nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him, it's unclean. Now, I'll tell you something, this is very serious to me. I am seeking glory and honor and immortality. This is the most important thing that I know of at the moment in my life. Can you hear me? I am seeking glory, seeking honor, and seeking immortality. I'm standing as a candidate for every change necessary. If I thought that eating pomegranates would do it, I'd buy a Peckham. If I thought that I could eat or wear or go or do or refrain to enter into immortality, I guarantee I'd do it. But I can't find it. Jesus said, it's not what goeth into a man that defileth him, but it's that what comes out. For out of the heart comes this evilness and so forth. So that's not the defiling. So I'm with a bunch of friends and they're all uptight about what we eat. And we're going to enter in immortality by what we eat. Well, I'm having a little trouble with that one. Oh, I can understand how that if you, you know, eat too much of the wrong thing, you can poison yourself or those kind of things. And I believe that there's a realm for moderation. But I just can't see that eating is where the answer is. You see what I'm driving at? Or refraining from eating because we have a meeting where we have those who have been teaching us about fasting and how this is the way to get into the kingdom. One group wants to eat and the other wants to refrain from eating. And this is the answer to the kingdom and entering in. Well, my friend, both have a smattering of truth, but I'm submitting for analysis that that's not the whole way either side eating or not eating? That's not our answer. I'm convinced that all things are lawful to me, but they're not expedient. I'm convinced, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Paul here, that there is nothing unclean of itself. I think we could even eat scallops. Some of you don't realize, but if you get plain truth, you ought to know that you can't eat scallops. Why? Why? Yeah, it doesn't have scales. And therefore it's unclean, according to Moses. But according to Romans 14:14, scallops are clean. Is that all right? Of course, I'd watch it. I wouldn't eat too much. I'd be careful of that. There are a few things that I haven't mastered yet. If I come to your home for a supper, there's only one thing that I can't handle, and that's blue points on the half shell. I just can't take that. That's raw oysters, if you don't. And except for that, why, try me out on the rest. But I hope we don't try any of those. Now, in can't find it, so I'll read it all. If your brother be grieved with your meat, verse 15, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy scallops, for whom Christ died. In other words, if you're going to have some, Seventh-day Adventists in, you shouldn't serve pork or scallops. It's just not right. It's socially a faux-pas. It's incorrect. However, if you're a Seventh-day Adventist and you walk into my house and we are serving ham or scallops, keep your big nose out of my business. Now, can you see the difference? Now, if I invite you and I'm prepared for you and I know what the thing is, that's one thing. If you invite yourself, I have the right to set the rules at my house of ham or scallops or any other thing. And in fact, he started out with wine or not wine. This is a big thing to me too right now because, as you know, Pentecostal, the realm that I was raised in, I was trained that if I ever even tasted wine, I'd turn into a wino on the spot. And this was a very, very hard and a very serious thing to me because I was trained in that. I heard a lot of testimonies about somebody who, you know, tasted a little wine and how they fell and all this kind of stuff. The girls in our church sang a little song. Lips that have touched wine will never touch mine. And, you don't believe that, do you? I came from a very strict church. Well, I says, don't destroy those people. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, righteousness, peace, and joy. That's where we get our RPJ and the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved to men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may build up one another. For meat, scallops, whatever your thing is, you see. Destroy not. I don't even know where I am. Help me out. What verse am I? I'm lost. For meat, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it's evil for the man who eateth with offense. It's good neither to eat flesh or drink wine or anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended and made weak. Hast thou faith? What? To eat meat or drink wine? Or whatever else makes your brother weak? Have it to thyself before God. And that means if you're Catholic, and it was a few years ago, never broil steak on Friday on the patio. If you have the faith to eat steak on Friday, Do it inside. Have it to yourself before God. Can you hear what I'm... And of course, you've heard the one that's kind of famous now. If you're in the assembly of God and you want to take a little wine for the stomach's ache, like the Bible says, then have it to yourself before God. And that means hide the bottle. Because you wouldn't want anybody to know. See, this is not being a hypocrite. What's the difference? Well, now look. We're mature, right? Now, as mature adults, we do things that are morally and ethically correct that we don't allow the children to know about. Mm-hmm. And those that are weak in the flesh should not know about your liberty. Mm-hmm. Have it to yourself before God. This, I find, is one of the most misunderstood concepts. Why? Because people feel like as soon as they get the liberty, they should bring everyone else into that liberty. That's like some kids finding out what adults do and going back to high school and teaching them the games adults play. Did you hear what I just said? How many knew what I meant? I don't want to get too X-rated, but that's what I'm talking about, you see. And so then they told us some jokes and taught us some things about life and some things like that when we were little kids, and we shouldn't have found it out until we could have handled it. We were mature. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. So in this realm of maturity, he says, if you're mature enough, now he says, those that are weak in the flesh, they can't cope with it. So have it to yourself before God. If you have the faith, he says in verse 22, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. And some of us got the idea, as soon as we got the faith, we should go back and tell all the kids about the fun we were having or the excitement that's going on and so forth. Well, that's wrong, just as wrong as can be. If you have the faith, have it to yourself before God. Hide the bottle or whatever the other thing is that your maturity has allowed you into. Oh, by the way, remember this, of course. The law of love won't hurt anybody. And look at the list of the manifestations of the flesh and the spirit. And go by the spirit, and you'll never be wrong. But, oh my, there are lots of things that we could be led to do. But you ought to keep it under your hat. Now, anybody agree, nod your head. For those who disagree, just wag it back and forth right now, so I'll know. Can I say it another way? Keep your big mouth shut. How's that for a paraphrase? Have it to yourself before God. Then he goes on and says, happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. What do you mean by that? Yeah. Well, this is what it means. Suppose I was in the assembly of God and I decided to take a little wine for the stomach's sake. Then I took the wine for the stomach's sake and all of a sudden I began to condemn myself for what I had done. You know what that says? I'll end up with a bellyache. Because I've allowed myself to bring myself back into condemnation. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. Now, if you allow yourself, be sure, of course, that you're being led in the Spirit, and then keep it under your hat. Don't tell the other kids, because the kids aren't mature enough to know what the freedom that Jesus has given you in the Holy Spirit. But do not use your liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by it, by love, serve one another. The law of love. Use love to serve one another. Don't use your liberty, even though you're not under the bondage of the law. See, this is where it gets real sticky, because people say, that's too dangerous to teach because we need the law. Well, that's true. Except that I've already prayed for the kings and the priests, the joint heirs of Christ, those who are going to turn into sons of God. Now, if I was teaching a bunch of beginning Christians, I don't think I'd want to teach them this lesson, would you? No, of course not. What would you teach them? Well, brother, the only way that you can get anywhere with God now is to start tithing. And God will be pleased if you attend Sunday school here starting at 9:30 every Sunday morning. And I start putting them under, right? Why? Because I want to train them and put them under the commandments and under the law. Isn't that the way we trained our little children? We began to bring them up. But you know something? The thing that I'm seeing as I travel around is just an awful lot of people that are in the 10th grade for the 40th year. That have gone around the same mountain over and over and over again, and they're not developing. And what's my message? My message is not the Paideon Pais. My message is the Technon who's going to be a Huios. So what do I have to teach? I have to teach some mighty unpopular lessons. Some, can I call it X-rated? If you know what I'm talking about. That the kids aren't supposed to know about. Why? Because these are only for the sons. These are the people who are going to grow up. These are the people who are going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. These are the people who are going to be led by the Spirit, not by the law. And they have to know. Am I talking to you? I hope so. Yeah. I prayed for you. I really did. I prayed that you would be the, you know, because after all, this kind of lesson was misunderstood, right? And so I've got to have some pretty grown-up people to hear this lesson, or they'll run off with some crazy ideas and so forth. Use not your liberty. I'm in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 right now. Galatians 5:13. Use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by it, by love, serve one another. Go with me to Colossians now to, I believe we can wind it up here on time. Colossians 2. I'll read it first in the King James, then I may be able to read it here from one of the others. Wherefore, verse 20 now, 2:20. Colossians 2:20. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments, does anybody remember that word rudiments? Did you mark it in your margin what that meant? Law of Moses. Stoichions. These are the Stoichions. If you're dead from the law of Moses, or the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinance? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using. Have you heard me quote that over and over again? All right, there you know where it is. After the commandments and doctrines of God. Is that what it said? No, it didn't say that. After the commandments and doctrines of who? Men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship, humility, neglecting the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Well, that doesn't make too much sense, so I'm going to read it from Phillips, and here's what he said. So if, through your faith in Christ, you're dead to the principles of this world's life, why? As if you were still part and parcel of this worldwide system, do you take the slightest notice of these purely human prohibitions? Don't touch this. Don't taste that. Don't handle the other. This, that, and the other will all pass away after use. I know that these now hear it, this is the part. I know that these regulations look wise with their self-inspired efforts at worship. Their policy of self-humbling and their studied neglect of the body. But in actual practice, they do honor not to God, but to man's own pride. Now that's pretty clear. So, when we're trying to find favor with God, we're really ending up boosting our ego, being proud in what we're wearing and not wearing, the length of this or the cut of that, whether we eat this or stay away from that. And we're building our own pride. Now you see, friend, I wouldn't try to teach this in Sunday school. Would you? Don't try to, they'll kick you out. And I think with good reason, I'm going to say that again. Some of you are not, may not agree with me, but I think with good reason. You have no right to talk like this in Sunday school. Because they've already made up their mind. They've decided to embrace certain truths. And you're not to bring them any more than what their rule book embraces. Now some of you are saying, well, wait a minute, I didn't know it was like that. Well, you check with your pastor and check with your rule book and find out that you're to embrace a certain amount of truth that's been established and already agreed to, and these are called doctrines. If you're going to stay in that society, in that group, then you stick it out. Oh, by the way, those doctrines say to do this and stay away from that, don't they? And you check it out, and Romans 14 says they're weak in the flesh because the weaker brother. Because whoever has these rules is the weaker brother. Is that right? Romans 14, 2. But they're nonetheless brothers. They are saved. They're Christians. They die, they go to heaven. And you have no right to go back and shake it up and whittle away at their doctrines. The proper thing to do is swim away and hope you can swim away fast enough so they don't bite your tail. So they don't get you. It's not right to go back. See, this is very important to me because I didn't see it quite so clearly several years ago, and I thought I was commissioned to go back. Okay. And straighten some things out. I found out that that's not God's way of doing things. I hope nobody's offended, but I've never heard of a genuine revival. Oh yes, they have revival. 2 weeks every year, the second 2 weeks of June. Oh, twice a year, church. All right, praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Well, and what happens at the end of the revival? Back to the old grind. What was it? It was really special meetings, and it was called revival. Is that all right? Really just a bunch of special meetings called revival. Because I don't know how to revive that which is already dead. It doesn't work. God doesn't go back and revive that which is dead. He always brings forth new life. So we're all humanity, all society. It's the way the birds and the bees do. It's the way the whole thing is. So I'm submitting for your analysis that you're going to find the action outside the structure. The action will always be outside the structure. And I don't care whose structure that you're a member of. I don't care what group or society you're trying to project. As soon as it becomes structured, it's by necessity limited to that which is in the rule book. You have to stop. That's the end of it. But my friend, Jesus brought us freedom, liberty. Are you free in Jesus? Well, you're free in Jesus when you're not in society. I'll tell you, I'm not free in Jesus. Theologically, I am. Theoretically, I am. But I don't act it. Because I'm in society. Can you hear me? Does that upset you for me to say that? I can't follow the freedom that Jesus has already shown me. Because I'm in society. Unless I can follow this freedom, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. There are times and situations of life where you can have your freedom when you're by yourself. Or when you're not with that form of society which is offended. Is that all right? So tonight I want to pray for you that you will take your freedom at the right times, and that you will never be a stumbling block to any Christian. Is that a reasonable prayer request? Would you stand with me while we pray? Our Father, in Jesus' name, we ask for spiritual eyes and spiritual ears that will see spiritual things, will hear spiritual words, will understand what's trying to be said here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Moses. Thank you, Lord, for the law. Thank you, Lord, for that which is in times past has been a schoolmaster to bring us to Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we pray that will each one of us go beyond the schoolmaster and in to Jesus Christ, the purpose of all this. We pray, Lord, that every person here will be led fully of the Spirit, that Jesus Christ will be our baptizer, that will be fully led by the Spirit, that will be really huios, manifest as sons of God, and yet, Lord, we pray that none of us will be stumbling blocks. That each one recognizing the society we're in, the family we're with, the background, the structure that we've come from, the church realm that we're still participating with. We pray, Lord, that none of us will do anything which would be offensive to that realm, but each one of us would be recognizing that there is a realm that we have to just be walk circumspectly and not be a stumbling block. And yet, Lord, we yearn for those times and those experiences when we're led of the Spirit. When we're free in Jesus, free to fly, to go like a butterfly, fly like an eagle, we pray, Lord, that we will have the strength renewed as an eagle. We pray, Lord, that each one of us will have the freedom at times to be have that time of refreshing, be led of the Spirit, even though at times we're still back in this realm and world in which we live. We pray for those times of refreshing. And now, Lord, we ask that every spirit and every soul and every body will be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. In His name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Amen.